What's up, YouTube?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prestige Reef Talk Show. First thing I need to say before I introduce anybody, if you've just clicked on this because you're like, I want to know about Ryan from BRS, I presume that there will be people who have clicked on it just for that. This is a weekly live stream where we do a chat, really, where we talk for about 2 hours about various things. The Ryan stuff will be in here, but it will be at the news section at the end. So if you're watching that now just for the BRS thing, it'll be in the news. So come back in about an hour and a half. And if you're watching this after, I'll put a pinned comment below so you can see the Ryan stuff.
That was like a disclaimer saying, I clickbaited you suckers, but don't worry, what you actually want is at the end.
It's not clickbait. I got accused within about 3 seconds of this video being scheduled and going up.
Yeah.
I got accused of clickbait. And it's like, it's not clickbait.
You actually were accused of it. Well, that wasn't, I didn't know that.
No, I know. But anyway, this, we'll talk about it, I promise, but it's not for 2 hours. Instead, hello, I'm Alex. I'm Reef Dork. And with me, as always, is Ryan from the UK's number one coral selling website,
prestigereef.co.uk.
And
Fish Rescue.
Oh, and Fish Rescue Extraordinaire.
Yep, good.
Ryan, how are you and why are you a fish rescue person?
I'm good, thank you. I will ask you how you are so you can just say, yes, I'm fine. Alex and I saw each other earlier for like hours.
Yeah.
So, I'm good. And why am I a fish rescue person? Because I have now, I now own your fish currently, don't I?
Very much a lease, all right?
They're on a lease. See, it's funny because it just so happens that I have just got into the fish selling market as well. I've expanded Prestige Reef, so I'm now selling fish. But I only have a very, very small selection of fish that I can sell. I have a mystery wrasse, for example, whitetail cold tang, scarlet hawkfish. So if anyone's looking for those, you let me know, because I've got some lovely plump ones.
The whitetail cold tang, that you don't see many of them. There was a period when I got that one where there was a few coming in, and there were a few in, because they all come in at the same kind of time.
They seem to be seasonal. I've noticed that.
Oh, interesting. But that's quite a fair point. But there were a few of them, but you don't see them very often. And I've not seen one for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
That's my most expensive ever fish as well.
Yeah. Well, so, it's doing well still. It was funny because, so obviously I went to Alex's house earlier. Alex will tell you in a minute, but obviously your tank's broken down now, isn't it?
Yeah, completely.
And I took all the fish back. I put them all in to the same tank. I put some food in there for them, which was pellets, not realizing that Alex has never fed them pellets before, basically. And they looked at me going, what the hell have you just... They looked at me like to go, what have you just done?
Alex normally gives us PE mysis.
Yeah, we get the premium
live mysis. Yeah,
I have never seen. There's probably about 8-10 fish there, isn't there? Not a single one of them, not even the clownfish, would take a bite.
Exactly. I mean, you'd only just had them back, hadn't you? So you only just got them back.
Well, yeah, that is true. But I just after that, I fed them mysis, and they all ate straight away. So right. It was specifically the pellets that they were snubbing.
I'm not interested in that. I'll come on to explain that in a sec. But first off, just a quick question from Ireland Reef. Opinions on the Waterbox frag series. I love them. I have a frag. I have the 2-foot one. I almost got the 6-foot one for my next tank, but I changed my mind in the end. But I think they look wicked. I love the shallow. Actually, Ryan, you saw that tank today, my 2-foot one.
Yes, yeah.
And being able to see top down, it's just all the, really easily all the time. Just turn your power on, heads off, and they're wicked. I love it.
Are you letting everyone know you don't have a lid on that tank?
No, I don't tell people that.
Tell people that. No, and also when the flow's on, you can't see in the top, can you?
No, you can't. But that's easy to fix. Right. So the reason that so I'm breaking down the tank, as you might have known if you'd have joined last week. My main tank has been running, excuse me, for about 6 years, and it today actually wasn't planning on breaking it down. Today, the plan was. Ryan was going to come up and take all my fish because he's looking after them very kindly until I get the upgrade. But the plan was just get rid of the fish. And I mixed up a load of new salt water because I knew you were going to take a load of it. So I thought, well, I'll just fill it back up and then I'll work out the rest over the next week. Because I had a load of corals in there still, like encrusting over rocks and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to figure that out. And then when you left, I was like, why would I refill that? Why don't I just break it down today?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. So I just thought, well, let's just do it. So I went to, I took a load of corals in a massive box to Reefkeeper Moss End at my local fish shop. Got rid of all of those. Then pulled all the live rock out, pulled the water out, pulled the sand out. There weren't many. Oh, someone asked a brilliant question earlier on Instagram. Someone asked if I found any, when you're breaking down a tank, 6-year-old tank, someone asked if you found, if I found any freaky stuff, any cool critters or whatever. And I've last time I bought a rock from someone with a really established tank. It had an acro on it, which is why I bought it. So I broke the acro off, but it split the rock in half. And there was this thick earthworm looking thing. It looked like an earthworm, massive, that was just completely buried within the rock. So God knows what it was eating, because it was like encased completely. But I didn't see anything like that with this. There was a barnacle, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, yeah.
And there was, oh, a baby rock flower anemone that I didn't know.
Yeah, that was true. Yeah, and it was a different color to the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it was by, I've got one that's massive, and it was just by that, but it was a completely different color. So
yeah.
I knew that they dropped sprogs or whatever. I don't actually know what it is, but splitting effectively. I know they do that, but I'd never seen it. And I've had probably 10 of them, maybe more.
I was under the impression that they didn't do that. You might be right, but I was under the impression that they didn't do that. I thought they only reproduced sexually. So you obviously have two in your tank, don't you?
So Reef Dudes had a load drop off, and they would just like pop up and round the base.
Maybe I'm wrong then. Because I looked into to breeding them once before, and I thought you had to get like a few of them. Maybe there's different types. Maybe. But I think if you just have one of them, it doesn't produce more.
I've seen them. Like, sometimes they look like they're smoking and they're just expelling
stuff. Nice.
Gametes or whatever they're called. Yeah. Spaffing jizz into the water column. Sorry.
Nice.
So I've seen them do that before. So maybe that's it. And maybe so the Jamie Craggs I mentioned last week, there's Jamie Craggs, the coral guru, the coral godfather, spawning godfather, was on Beyond the Reef podcast with Adam from Frag Garage last week. And I finished listening. It was about 2.5 hours long, but I didn't want to listen to it at like 2x speed or whatever. So I did it over a couple of sittings, and I finished listening to it today. And he had some really interesting stuff. It's just, go and watch it. It's so good. It's really, really interesting. But yeah, so tank's breaking down. Nothing really freaky in there. Just, you know, the barnacle and the little baby rock flower and everything. But I stripped everything down today. Some still got water in it, and there's still some equipment in there. But otherwise, it's gone. The tank is no more.
If this was me, the tank would be like that now for the next 3 weeks. So it's still got water in the sump.
I've been messaging to this guy who's buying it. I've been messaging him today. I think we're going to try to get it picked up in the next week or two. Basically, I've got for the next week. I've got to strip out all the stuff, all the equipment, because some of it's all just like the cables are everywhere. It's going to take time, but I'm going to do that by Saturday, and then he'll collect it sometime after then. So it'll be gone soon, but it has to get gone today.
Does Mrs. Reef Talk still listen to the podcasts?
Yes.
I have nothing to say.
Yeah. I was doing some measuring, actually, on the back of your suggestion today. But
oh, okay, good. Because I was like, I know what, I was going to say something. I was like, actually, no, that was probably not the time to say it.
It's fine. It's all good. There's nothing to hide.
Yeah. Kind of. Other than the three girlfriends you told me about.
Oh, is it just three now? Yeah, I had to cut two of them off. But that's basically it. That's what's going on. The tank is gone. And I'm now, which I've actually, so you asked me today if I was sad about it.
Yeah, I did.
Not really. I don't feel, I would have thought that I would be, but I'm not. I'm just like, yeah, let's get it done. It's fine.
So. Do you know what I noticed? Well, while you were doing it, firstly, you're terrible at catching fish. That's the first thing I noticed. And the second thing, you put a lot of care and attention into the fish when you were getting them out and putting them in the bucket. You didn't like grab them and swing them around and throw them in. It was like very, you treat them very delicately. Mm. What I realize is these are your pets.
Yeah.
They're not that, like, trust me, I've seen loads of tank breakdowns before. And sometimes you're like, wow, how does that thing even survive after you've just chased it around the tank for ages?
Yeah.
But I just, I thought to myself, you genuinely really care. And not everyone is like that.
Really? I just assumed it because you don't want to, if you're chasing them around, that, so for a start, that stripping out all the rock that they've had there, and there was a rust that was buried in the sand, digging them out, that's stressful as hell.
Yeah.
So I don't see why you wouldn't want to be like as I was pulling them out, I was going, sorry.
I literally, that's why I made a bucket. Of everything that happened today, that's the thing that I took away from it the most, which was interesting. Oh, really? I was thinking about it as I drove home, like you genuinely really, really care about these animals.
Yeah.
And it was like, shit, now I've got to look after them.
Yeah.
So, but it's don't you worry. I gave them a little pep talk. I was like, look, however you've been treated before, it's nothing like that here.
They're going to get well. So most of them, none of them are thin and looking like they need more food, but they get fed better with you because you feed more than I do. Because you've got 10 times as much water.
Yeah, but I also got a lot more fish than you.
Yeah.
They are currently most of them are in a tank. They're in the zoa tray. Firstly, just so you know where they are. Most of them are in the zoa tray. They are in with two tangs I have a Tamini tang and a it's a mimic lemon peel tang. Cool. Both of those the tangs have showed no aggression. The tangs never come above the egg crate. Not the egg crate, the frag racks. So it looks like there's nothing in that tank. And now I've put your fish in there, I'm like, oh, this tank has got stuff in it now. Mm. With the exception of the whitetail coal tang is in the tank below that, because I wouldn't put it with the tanks, and there was no tang in that tank.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but other than that, yeah, they're all completely fine so far anyway.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Well, I'm sure you'll take good care of them, and I appreciate you looking after them. You've saved me from having to sell them, which would have been gutting. So.
Yeah. I actually said, because obviously we filmed a video today, and I actually said that. I said, there's no way that I would find a way somehow to keep I got a lot of fish now, but I'd find, when I shut down the coral farm to expand, I'd be like, you know, you got that 6-foot tank. Can you take like 100 fish?
Yeah.
That's probably how many I've got. It wouldn't
surprise me. Yeah, you. Do you know what? I'm just thinking the other freaky stuff I found, nothing freaky really, but I found three large Mexican turbo snails that I didn't know I had. I knew I had one, maybe two. I don't feel like I've bought three, you know. I probably did because they're years old, but they're big, big Mexican turbos.
Turbos do breed in the tank. Did you have any small ones?
None that I saw. There was the shell, so one that had died years ago.
There's a specific type of turbo. I'm not sure if it's the Mexican ones that do breed in captivity. I have thousands of them, and they usually reach an equilibrium. I started with five of them. And I've moved them all as they've spawned. I've moved them to different tanks, and now I've got like hundreds of them. So it might be. Then again, if you've only got three of them, it's probably not that.
No, okay. It was just cool. I like that, and I also got to see. I've got a brittle star. It's like a brown and black brittle star. It's nothing special, but for a brittle star, it's relatively decorative. You know, it looks one of the cooler ones.
Is it striped?
I don't know if I'd describe it as striped. Cookie, brittle.
Oh no, the striped ones are serpent starfish. They're not the brittle ones.
Oh, okay. To be fair, it could be a serpent star. I could be misidentifying it. I'll see if I can find a picture.
Are the arms smooth?
Yes.
Oh, then it'll be a serpent star, because brittle starfish have like lots of little bits coming off each arm.
Okay, there you go. Serpent thing. You learn something every day. So it's a serpent star, and I put him in years ago, probably, I think, when I first got the tank. So he's at least 6 years old, so I know that they live a reasonable time now.
HBC chemistry, just so you know, you're going to have to wait until the end now to find out. Or you have to go back to the beginning. It's up to you.
It's not clickbait. This is the thing. And so that someone, the person who commented saying, nice clickbait, lol, or whatever, when I first uploaded this video, it's not. This is for me. This title and thumbnail. That's not even an exaggeration. I'm not even overselling this. I think that, as far as I'm concerned, this is huge. Look, we'll come back onto that because I don't want to interrupt the flow of the normal one. But there's a little pinned comment there that says, "Come back in about an hour." It's in the news section, so we'll come back to that. But it's not clickbait, I promise. It's fine. It's just
a sad farewell.
It's sad. It is sad. I'm really sad. But anyway, we'll come back onto that. That's that really. That's my tank woes. One thing that I noticed today, actually. So you came up and looked at these two tanks up here. No.
Just to clarify, he's not died.
So when you came up today, you saw these two tanks up here.
Yes.
The first thing you said about the Cade over my shoulder was,
oh my God, like I see it now, yeah.
Yeah, all you can see is the GSP. It just looks empty.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my God, there's actually loads of stuff in there.
That tank behind Alex is actually really, really nice, but you just can't see it when it's on the live stream.
It's funny, yeah. You really can't. But there's the hammer corals that are on the back wall there,
yeah,
that are stuck there using 45 degree angles that you can buy at reefdock.etsy.com. They're wicked. but when they're already getting quite big. There's another one that's going to go there that's just on the sandbed at the moment. But when they're grown out, they'll be proper, like flowing, and that will look really cool as well.
Yeah.
But there we go. But that's my week in reefing. Anything else? Anything else going on with you? You've just been. What else again?
So obviously the other day I picked up a load of goniastrias and favias I mentioned on those have all been fragged now. Eagle-eyed viewers will notice I have a red nose again. it's not as bad as last time, but about a month ago I had it and I didn't know what caused it last time. It's not a spot, which is what people assume it is. And it's actually really sore. And so everyone laughed last time, and then I went into the coral farm. I was fragging those goniastrias, and I came out of the coral farm, and it was like instant. I had a red nose. It was as simple as that. Now, I got this to show you. This is what I look like after I come out of the coral farm. So this is a mixture of like seawater, slime, like the cement they make the frag plugs out of, because it turns into like a paste. And that all gets on my gloves. And what's happened is I've obviously done this at some point to wipe my nose. And it's literally like I'm not sure what it is, but it's not. It's like a sting or some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
or some sort of coral bacteria or whatever. But it's quite unpleasant. And so that's obviously what's caused it. What is interesting is some people do have sensitivities to corals. So some people are more sensitive to them than others. Some people can touch a torch coral and they can actually feel the sting.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've ever touched a torch coral with a cut in your hand, you can feel the sting, I can assure you. Now, the problem is coral sensitivity isn't like other things where you can like train yourself to get better at it. Mm. Coral sensitivity gets worse. So the more you're exposed to it, the worse the reaction gets.
Okay.
So I'm starting to wonder, I'm like, is this going to cause me a problem? Because in theory, like it could. And I actually have it on my finger as well moment. Yeah, I do have it. I have it on my one of my fingers.
Yeah, I've seen you wearing like rubber gloves, latex gloves. Do you not wear them all the time?
I guess most of the time, I do wear them. But obviously, I don't wear them when I'm like taking corals out of the to pack them. It's mainly when I'm fragging them. I'm not even sure why. I'm not even sure why. Like I do it for fragging, but always with the zoas. It's funny because people come to the coral farm now and they're like, are you selling me something dangerous because you won't touch them without gloves? And I'm like, no, but I got taught a lesson.
Yeah. And to be fair, you fiddle around with stuff all day, every day, and dozens and dozens and dozens of different corals and all that.
You can, after fragging corals, I can literally taste them in my mouth in the evening. I'm not joking. Yeah. I need to start wearing a mask. There are some things I do wear masks with, but because it's hot in there, it makes your face too sweaty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do wonder, you know how they like, there's all these things that you find out years later, a bit like asbestos and stuff like that have harmed people over an extended exposure. I'm like, either this coral stuff is going to make me live forever because I'm getting something that is
super power.
Unknown to science yet, or I'm gonna die when I'm 40.
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter, if I'm honest.
Probably. Because obviously we haven't evolved in a way where we are meant to interact with these creatures.
No. So if you're watching in the chat, by the way, and in the comments afterwards as well, say if you've ever had an allergic reaction to a coral, or if you've been stung by a rabbit fish or something. I had a small rash on my arm once from a it was a euphilia, or it was a torch or a hammer or something. Like, I can't remember what it was. Very small, and it disappeared after a couple of days. It didn't hurt. I didn't even feel it. I just noticed it.
Yeah.
But that's it. I've never had anything else like that.
I get it literally all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Like, but you had... You almost died from Pally.
Well, that was, if I had just found another one on my arm. Really, I get it. Yeah, it looks like I'm like got some sort of weird disease half the time. Yeah. So,
yeah. Go on.
Oh, so you, I was just answering what you said. Yeah, I did have a bad reaction to Zoas once, but that was my own fault. I knew the risks and I didn't take the precautions that were required. I took hand protection and eye protection, but I didn't wear a mask. And I'm not even sure how effective a mask would be, if I'm honest. Unless it's like one of those, I think they're called like P45 masks, which are like specially designed for things. But I don't think just one of those face masks everyone was wearing for COVID would make a difference.
You
need a
full hazmat suit, don't you? Like,
I have full armed ones. I have ones that go really? All up. Yeah, I do. And I can't remember why I've got those. I think I originally got those for Zoas, but they're too, it takes away your dexterity. They're too thick, so you can't glue things down. So I just use the smaller ones.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
It's interesting because quite a few people were saying, yeah, look, I have had issues with corals or things stinging or rashes.
John Wright had a bad reaction when he asked how much a chalice was.
yeah, true.
What else? Actually, so rash from a Duncan, which is crazy. Duncan, you wouldn't think it, but it's got tentacles, I guess. What else? Carpet anemones are crazy. Torches. He's touched the torches a number of times, not on purpose. No things at all. All right.
You go.
Rush from every time he touches his invasive GSP or Gorgonian. I'm surprised at that. Okay.
Well, that was the one that made me remember. There is something in the soft coral tank which is very, very powerful. Okay. And when it gets me good. And I don't know what it is. I'm like, is this something that's biting, like a little creature that's biting me? But it's not instant. It's almost like I'll touch it. And then, I don't know, half an hour later, I'm like, like it's like proper pain.
Yeah.
So it's.
You could run ozone in that tank, see if that helps.
I don't know. As I said, it's just, I think. It is the pink star polyps is what they're at, but they are actually a type of encrusting Gorgonian. But I don't know if that's what it is. Or it could literally be something in that tank, which is like a little critter that's biting me.
Oh, my God. What was I going to say? There was... ozone today. Did you notice... I know the tank was empty, but when you got there, did you notice that the water was crystal clear?
No.
No. See, that's
I'm not going to pretend.
No. I don't want you to. That's why. But I don't. I've noticed an improvement. I noticed an improvement quite quickly. But with me, and I'm probably not dosing enough because I was only running it for like I think 4 hours a day at maximum, and before then it was only 2 hours and 1 hour. But I noticed an improvement, but it wasn't like absolutely blow me away. Wow, this is incredible. But
That's the one thing I wish I'd asked you while you were there, while I was there, because I wanted you to show me. But obviously we were distracted by other things. Yeah, I wanted to see how it worked.
So I was going to do a video, but I still think it's better if I just leave it until I've been doing it for 6 months. But I'll
can
show
you
myself
like a 30-second video that you send to me on WhatsApp.
Personal one. It's setting up ozone is really easy, or the way I did it anyway.
I thought about putting it on the water box just to trial it. I might eventually put on, if it was great, I might put on the coral farm, but the coral farm is fine, so no need. So
I would have it on my water box, my frag, if I had a skimmer, but I don't have a skimmer. So
yeah, today is the first day, actually, speaking of the water box, that all four lights have been on. So
Today's the first day
I put all four of them on. So I had one on one end and one on the other end, and I thought, I could just put another one on, and I just thought, I'll just put both on.
What's the latest then? Is it if your algae everywhere, Dyson's back?
No,
what's going on?
No, it literally. So my sand isn't like pristine white anymore, but it's the same as your sand, if you see what I mean. Where your sand's not like white. No one has really, really white sand. Like it comes out of a.
Half of it's covered in coralline algae, my stuff. But it kind of looks.
That's what I noticed. The sand has and it doesn't look bad at all. This is literally just normal. Yeah. It has like a very, very fine, just like little dots of green on the sand. It's literally algae, which is growing on the rock, is growing on the sand because the sand's not moving. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other side has a very, very minor, like little bit of diatoms. So what happened when I first put the light on, there was a little bit of diatoms. A week later, it was gone and then replaced by algae. Then I put the second light on, the same thing's happening where a little bit of diatoms, then it dies out and it'll turn green.
Yeah.
So that's my expectations of what will happen. So
you had a Monty, you accidentally left a Monty frag in there.
It died. It died. It's funny because I was going to put, for the next video of that, I was like, and the number one thing that everyone wants to know, that coral survive? It didn't.
No. Okay. That's probably fair enough to be expected.
Yeah. It's interesting because how long can something, you could survive a week without food. A dog could survive a week without food, probably. Wouldn't be happy.
You can survive ages without food. Water, you're stuffed.
But, yeah, but with coral, a week without light, gone. That's it. Yeah. But it wiped out all algae, everything, when I did that. The only thing it didn't wipe out was the coralline algae.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The blackout really was weird. Like 3 weeks, 2 weeks?
No, the blackout was, I think, 10... It was either a week or 10 days. I think it was 10 days.
Okay.
It's just to make sure that coral was dead. So that was, and it just wiped everything out pretty much. And then it almost reset the tank, which was, I wish I'd done it months ago, if I'm honest. you live and learn.
Good job, yeah.
Yeah. What was the other thing? Oh, the other thing is I got sun-kissed bounce mushrooms back. I haven't had those for ages. So, I had these are sentimental to me. They was the first. Why is it weird? It's not weird. These were this was one of the first corals which I invested in. Oh, I see. So you should show the video from last week. Those of you that don't follow me on Instagram, there was one of my followers. I can't remember his name now. Edited the live stream. So Alex says a video of Alex saying, "I love Ryan. I touched him tonight."
Yeah.
So, but where was I? I can't remember what I was saying.
Mushrooms, there. Sentimental mushrooms. Oh,
yes. Yeah. So the reason they were sentimental to me is because they were one of the first corals I bought as an investment. I think I paid like £350 for it, and which was like crazy money for me at the time. This was just before the coral farm started, and I grew them and I fragged them and I sold them to people, and then I lost my last one, and then someone who bought them from me was shutting their tank down, and they went, "Oh, I've got these. Are you interested in them?" And I was like, "Oh, it's one of my ones!" So it feels, see, I get attached to things. So it's nice to have a genetic, it's not the same one because obviously it's a frag of the original one, but genetically it's identical
lineage.
So I bought a small colony of them. I've got 5 of them.
Are you going to keep any in your water box as like a pet coral?
I think that the Majestic would definitely eat mushrooms. I've tried mushrooms with a Majestic before. I don't know if I'm gonna, I might get rid of the Majestic and just keep the King Eye, just because then you've only got one fish to worry about, if you see what I mean. Fulfills the angelfish reef criteria, whereas the Majestic seems to be far worse than the other ones.
Do you know what you should do? The Majestic on.
Yeah.
Get a Regal.
Yeah, I did think about that too. But remember, the King Eye is a risk as well. So
Yeah.
But the Majestic, I know, is a pain in the ass because I've literally watched it peck every single coral that's gone in there. I was at a shop once and they had a Majestic and they're like, "Oh yeah, it'll be fine with coral. Don't worry, it'll be completely fine with coral." This shop no longer sells marine fish. but so I said, "No problem. All I ask, I want you to prove something to me. Take a piece of coral and put it in with the Majestic and just see if it, because the chances are if they're saying new in its tank, it's like in like the first minute, it's not going to do it. I don't think it's going to interact with it. So I think there was a high chance that they would have been fine. Yeah. She put a mushroom in it with it. It instantly started eating it. I'm like, there you go. That is why I'm not buying it.
Do you know what I did? I once bought 3 pyramid butterfly fish, which are supposedly reef safe. And mine were, for the time I had them, probably only 6 months. They didn't touch anything. LPS, SPS, there was nothing. But the second I put them in the tank, Yeah. One of them turned round and saw an Aptasia and pecked at it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes! Oh, this is amazing. Like, because I didn't expect that at all. And yeah. That was the only time he ever touched it.
never touched it. He didn't like the taste, obviously.
No, exactly. But yeah, very annoying.
I consider sorry.
Go on.
I was going to say, I considered getting a long-nosed butterfly the other day.
I've been looking at one of them, yeah.
Just out of intrigue, there was one that was feeding really well. Again, they're probably good for Aptasia control. I don't know how it would be with a copper band. I'm not sure. Butterflies sometimes don't like each other very much.
Anything that looks the same, because they both got the long beak, so that they would probably look at each other and think, you're my competitor for food.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we both go pecking in amongst the rocks. So it's a risk, I would say.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
Yeah. Actually, I had a very small victory today with my copper bands. Okay. I had one that would not eat mastic, but I still try it with it anyway, because mastic's really good. Because you're not going to be copper bands get thin easily. And if they start to get thin, you then have to start to put loads and loads of mysis in to bring them back. Whereas if you just put a bit of mastic on it and they'll eat it, it usually fattens them back up. But it's 50-50 whether they'll eat it, I've found. Right. And this one, normally I like get some mastic and crush mysis into it.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas this one, I just went, I'll just put a bit on there. And it went for it.
Oh, that's really good. Do you use the powdered mastic? You have to mix up all the little pots.
I'm too lazy.
It makes your freezer stink as well.
I know, but have you seen how much the pots are?
No.
You'll be shocked, I reckon, if you Google how much they are.
I bought one, the little tins of the little...
let's have a look. 3 gram mastic.
Whilst you're doing that, I'm going to show people what my tank looks like as at today. Empty. And that's with the tank with white lights on. I put all the white lights on, so no blue.
Yeah. We should have done that earlier. Because the video we filmed is so blue.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's a point. I didn't take any footage of breaking the tank down.
Don't worry, I got some for you.
Yeah, but I didn't take any footage of the day before I broke the tank down. I should have taken loads of videos of all the corals. I'm an idiot, but anyway.
It's one of those things, because it's the same. If something bad is happening, if you have a problem, you don't feel like filming, do you? If you have loads of Aptasia everywhere, if it's an ugly tank, you don't go, oh, yeah, I really, really want to film that. You lose, and that is probably the same thing.
With this, I just didn't even think about it. If I'd have thought about it, I would have been like, great, let's do it. I thought about making a video of breaking down the tank, but breaking down a tank is actually quite a lot of effort anyway. So filming it and thinking about what clips you need and all that, it was too much. So anyway, whatever. The yellow long-nosed butterfly, I wanted to get one. I almost got one after my copper band died.
Yeah.
Because it was an SPS tank, and I thought, it's probably going to be okay. But because I was expecting to shut it down at some point, I didn't do it. But I'd love one.
Yeah.
Just don't think I'll do it in my LPS tank. Too risky.
That's true, actually. That's true. I think, I need some little wins now with the water box. Mm. I lost momentum on it. Because there was an issue with the fish, and then there was an issue with the diatoms, and it's like I lost my love for it.
Yeah.
So I need some little wins. So I can't go and start buying like loads of crazy fish that eat coral. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to put it in and go, oh, that's not worked either.
You want some positivity for 6 months or?
Yeah. So as I said, I might catch the majestic, take it out. The yellow tang in there is also really aggressive. Like, and it's like weird. It's never been aggressive.
Surprised.
It's never been aggressive with any, like in the other, it's obviously higher up in the hierarchy, but so my clowns are breeding at the moment. So they're literally laying eggs. They lay eggs, the eggs like literally every 3 weeks, there's just constantly eggs there. And the yellow tang just went over and just went smack. They're literally by themselves. The yellow tang on the other side of the tank. And I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about you.
So you asked me earlier if I'll have tangs in my upgrade.
Yeah.
And I'll have the white-tailed coal tang, so mine's not being aggressive, but they can get aggressive.
Might have sold by then.
See how it goes, yeah. But I don't know if I'll get any other tangs, because I hate aggression. I hate it. it stresses me out when I'm watching it.
I prefer the Zebrazoma tangs. They would be my favorite tangs. Any of the selfins, yellow, purple, gem, black, or whatever.
Because they're less aggressive or because they look cool?
I think that they are less aggressive than the acanthus ones. They're less prone to disease than the acanthus ones. They are more likely to eat corals. No, not eat coral. They're more likely to eat and less. The reason I said eat corals is because the regal, well, it was more of just a slip, but my regal tang eats some corals.
That's a known thing as well. They're one of the more risky
bastard tanks.
Yeah, exactly. Most of them won't, I think, but some of them do.
I think when you have a coral farm, you realize that a lot more fish eat coral than you ever realized did.
Yeah, okay.
So where they're willing to just try, like fox faces and things, because you might have a fox face and go, oh, look, it's fine. Like I don't have, it doesn't eat my coral, so this is fine. But yeah. I have got a lot more coral, if you see what I mean. Like a lot more variety.
You get loads more experience because you have loads more fish than most people.
Yeah.
Because you're a professional fish keeper, basically. And you have loads more coral. So there's lots more. So if I have one fish and three corals, there's a one in three chance maybe that, or there's a chance that he'll eat three. It's a very small sample size. Where if you've got 400 corals or 10,000 corals and 45 fish, there's masses of possibility that much more likely that you'll experience that. So you get like a really intense level of experience. If I keep a fish for 5 years, you could keep one for 5 weeks and get much more experience with all the variety and all that sort of stuff. So.
When you said intense, did you mean worse?
Yes, I do.
Worse experience.
Actually, and I'm just going to go because there's a Sky Crusader super chat. Thanks very much. Says he just like to say thanks, guys. My LX 270 is set up, which Waterbox LX 270, which is the one you have, which is 6 foot long and 2.5 feet front to back.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like front to back width.
Having seen your water box, I'm still surprised because you wanted a smaller tank. You wanted a lower tank originally, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which you're not getting.
So I'll clarify that because the actual glass is taller than my current tank, but the cabinet is lower. So actually, it's about 3 inches lower than my current tank, and that's my main issue. I wanted to be able to look down.
that's interesting because your tank is so tall. You're going to be like, oh, this is great because it's lower, but it's not going to be as low as your water box, is it?
No, and that's so I was looking at the water box. I love the idea. The only thing with the 6 foot water box, because it's only 16 inches tall, like the 2 foot, 3 foot and 4 foot frag that are 16 inches tall, the dimensions look wicked. I just wonder if it's a 6 foot, it might look a bit funny, a bit too long and thin. But I think they look wicked. I think they're cool.
I once went to collect a fish. It was actually a Tamini tank. I went to collect it from someone and they had a frag tank as a display tank, similar to yours, but it was bigger than yours and it was in their living room. And I was like, that's so odd. why would you have such a shallow display tank? But you obviously like it.
Lagoon style. Yeah. And so when I first got that tank, it was supposed to be literally a frag tank. So it was to store frags for my main. But it didn't ever really do that well. SPS didn't do well in there. And eventually I got to the point where I was like, sod it, I'm going to go LPS. And I love it. It's the LPS is just so cool.
That's really interesting that you just said that. And the reason it's really interesting is because I've wondered how you're going to handle starting a new tank again. Because remember, I thought that the water box was going to be easy. And it has not been easy. Remember, I haven't put the same level of effort in that I would do if it was just one tank, if you see what I mean. But it definitely... So you've basically just said, I started another tank expecting to have the same success as your display tank.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't. And I know it's a smaller volume and you're keeping SPS and... There's probably heat issues in that room and things like that.
The only thing with that is that I knew I wasn't convinced I was going to have success with that because it's a small water volume.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, I am convinced.
Well, you wait. You wait.
No, yeah. You can play this back when it goes pear-shaped and everything dies. But yeah, there'll definitely be challenges. There's always challenges when you're setting up a new tank. And because I'll be moving at that water box that I've just shown on the screen, I'll be moving all those corals over to the new one at some point. Not day one, but and that's introducing it to a new water, completely different water, a much less established tank, different lighting, different flow. So
I look forward to the day when I get a little ping on my phone. It says, Reef Talk has booked a consultation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'd have seen that like this. Oh, it was going to be so easy, was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is my, I get free consultations anyway. I can just go on here and then just be like, Ryan.
Yeah. Everyone does.
Everyone does. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone does when we're sitting here, don't we?
Post questions. Yeah. What was I going to say? So anything else that you've been doing for the last week or so?
No, I'd say that's probably about it, if I'm honest.
Well, in which case, we'll move on because we want to get to the news, to the headlines, because I recognise that there's going to be lots of people who want to talk about that. A couple of things we've got to do before then. Firstly, member questions. First one is from Push Button Reef, and he's preempting something that's in the news later.
Okay.
But he says, are you going to Love to Reef on the 18th of May, 2024? I'm not. I'm going to see Ocean Colour Scene that day, who you probably won't know because you don't understand music.
No.
No, Ocean Colour Scene. Oh, man. Like 90s, maybe early noughties indie band. Anyway, whatever. So no, I'm not going.
Too young.
Second question is from Lysia Reese, who says, how can you tell what ras are able to live with each other? I have a Christmas ras, which is a Halicoris, I think, and I'm confused how to know what else is compatible with it. So you're a ras guy, aren't you?
Who, me? No. You know the answer. You know I don't. I've just significantly increased my RAS population from your ones today. Two of them.
Yeah, that's true. The mystery and the leopard. So most Halicoris RAS are pretty peaceful and get on fine, is my experience. I've had loads of different Halicoris RASs together. In fact, most RASs generally are compatible and you don't have to worry about aggression issues. I did have towards the end, I had a yellow ras and a silver belly that both passed away within the last 6 months or so. I'd had for about 6 years. I can't remember, one of them started bullying the other one. But I think because they're both quite old, when animals see a weak animal, they go for it, don't they? So I think that's what was going on. I think one of them was just on his last legs or something. But that, I never see aggression from my rasses. Fairy rasses can be a little bit feisty, the flasher rasses. But most rasses are pretty peaceful.
I'm not sure that that's true, what you're saying. Like, I don't know. You probably have a better thing. But ras can be a pain in the ass with each other, especially things like carpenter's ras are like really like, they're like the little girly ras, aren't they? They get chased by everything else in the tank.
But they're flasher rasses.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They can be that's what I mean. They can be a pain. Yeah. And my I've had a McCusker's. Well,
but you said they were feisty, whereas I find that they're the ones that usually get chased and don't come out to feed.
Sorry, when I say they're a pain, so I had a McCusker's flasher ras and a Naoko ras, and I feel like they put other fish out of shape because they're showing their fins and all this.
Yeah,
they show off, and I think they get targeted because of that, because both of mine got bullied to death, sadly. So I agree. But that wasn't with other rasses. The rasses were fine. But do a bit of Googling to find out. I've never had a Christmas ras, for example.
Jade ras, pain in the ass. Six-line ras, pain in the ass.
Oh, six-line ras. Yeah,
eight-line ras.
But Halicoris ras are generally peaceful.
Yeah, yeah. I think things like the Melanaris I found. Melanaris, these are the ras that I have kept successfully together. A Melanaris, a silver belly, a canary, which is a yellow one.
Yeah.
Yellow chorus.
No!
A possum ras and a peacock ras. Those five all get on fine.
Eric Esparo has an excellent point. His Melanaris ras was a psycho.
But you've obviously got a weird one.
I had a Melanaris ras that Hooven's ras, aka, that got aggressive. Not mega aggressive. I'm really sensitive to any aggression. But he was just a bit of a dick. And they are, and I've seen several people talk about that. So this is why I said the Christmas ras, no idea. They're all slightly different.
I just realized dragon ras, pain in the ass. Ras is such a huge group of fish. They go all the way up to like, what's those really, really massive ones? Napoleon ras that are like huge.
Massive. There are rasses in the English Channel.
It's
obviously not Halicoris, but.
So I think it's. Let's clarify. Just do your research because you might get a pain in the ass one, or you might get one from the English Channel if you're not careful.
But generally, Halicoris rasses are peaceful.
Yes,
Anamsis rasses are peaceful, but they're really difficult. Macropharyngodon as well, the leopard rasses, they're generally peaceful. But always check, because I've not kept all of the wrasses. So
yeah. See, I stay away from wrasses. That's why I don't know. I don't know enough about them.
I want a yellow ass in my new tank. I just think they're just really bright. Last question is from JJS, who said, I missed last week's stream, but I had a question about the cost of DIY supplements. I have no doubt they are much cheaper, but I don't think you ever mentioned what the resulting concentrations are. For example, I buy 4 liters of CKM carbonate for about $30 that can raise the alkalinity in my 100-gallon tank by 118 dkh. So what's the equivalent? And no, we didn't talk about that.
I don't know. It's literally you basically dose and test and don't, but you dose a small amount at first to see the effect it's having.
Go on the Prestige Reef Talk Show Facebook page. And have a look. I've posted the recipe, and you can and I posted links to the this Intralabs website, which is where we get it, and you can see how much the raw materials cost. It'll be a fraction of the price of proper dosing liquids.
I didn't mention on the stream, and I'm not gonna mention it now, but I was shocked by one of the people in the industry. They are selling a like-for-like product, literally exactly the same with a different logo on it, and the difference was like times 10. I was like, how are they getting away with this?
But to be fair, that you've got to, so that manufacturing inverted commas has got to make their profit,
of course. Then
there might be a distributor who's going to make their profit. Then there's a shop that is going to make their profit. And because we're a niche hobby, it's not like if you're selling mobile phones, you can afford to make 10% profit, for example. I mean, Apple, take the piss, they make like 1,000,000% profit, but anyway, you can afford to make a small amount of profit. Cars, the profit margin on each car is small, but because they sell billions, it doesn't matter. Corals, and our hobby is so tiny, they have to charge more, which is part of the reason why it's more expensive. I'm not defending it, I'm just, you know, just saying.
The other thing that we have to remember as well is these products get shipped all around the world. Yeah, they move all around, and so there's a cost attached to that delivery as well.
Yeah, so, but unless you're paying, for most of the time you're paying to ship water around the world because water's heavy, and you could just sell the, anyway, whatever. Yeah, so I hope that answers your question. It doesn't really, but I so because the answer is we don't know, but it's probably comparable to the Fornamarin current dosing.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
So go and look at the Fornamarin, see what theirs is. It's probably, I don't know, but it's probably comparable. And that is record timing. The member questions completed, which means we are now on to, don't worry, we're almost getting on to it.
Can we get to the clickbait bit, please?
I know, it's not clickbait. Stop saying that. That we're getting on to the last. So there's two more things. There is the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week first.
Oh, no, because I don't know the name of it, but you have a picture of it. It is a wrasse.
It's a leopard wrasse.
Yes. Yeah. It's the wrasse that I picked up today from Alex, because Alex told me that if I don't keep this alive, he's going to kill me. They were his exact words.
You can hold me to that, guys. It's a leopard wrasse, but there are a few leopard wrasses or fish that are called a wrasse. So I'm going to tell you the scientific name. It's Macropharyngodon meleagris, which is this bad boy.
Yeah. Has it got a common name?
Leopard wrasse.
Oh, so literally that's all they call it.
This all says leopard wrasse. It might be like a black leopard. Oh, no, it's not a black leopard wrasse. Leopard wrasse is what I know it as, but there are a few leopard wrasses. Yeah. But it's so cool. This is possibly, apart from some of the really finicky ones, like the Anamsis ones, I think this is my favorite wrasse, like attainable wrasse.
It's not, I have a feeling that you could probably get like 10 of these and then one of them will be fine. Is that why it's so special?
So I just think they look cool. That's why the reason I like them. I did a video that was top 10 expert only fish or something like that. Yeah. And this guy was on that list. And then I bought one because I went to my local fish shop and I talked to Sean Acroman, who's been on the show before. Hi, Sean, if you're watching. And he's one of the people, one of the shop owners who, if you talk to him, you want to listen to what they say because you trust them. And he said, you know what, specimen selection is vital because they're one of these leopard wrasses that don't, their mouths get damaged often in collection or in the bags or whatever. But he reckoned if you get a good specimen, you're fine. And that's been my experience, but that's the experience of one.
So, yeah.
But I've always understood them to be quite difficult. Maybe it is because of that, but
I think a lot of leopard wrasse, unless they're all having the same issue, are meant to be difficult. Even like the leopard peacock wrasse is meant to be difficult as well. They're labeled as an expert only fish.
Exactly. So they're the genus Macropharyngodon, and anything that's got that, so it's a long name, but anything that's got that in it is probably better to steer clear of.
There were some red ones that came in at one point as well. They look like
counters.
Not sure. I just know them by their colour.
Ras. Is Kuteri? Is it Kuteri? Hang on.
Possibly. It's interesting because
Coyote.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. These are cool.
This will apply to everyone. If there's something that I'm interested in, I will learn everything I can about it. Whereas I have no interest in wrasse. I just go, yeah, there's this red one I saw once.
Yeah.
I didn't even bother to learn the name.
Yeah, Coyote wrasse. So this is another macro thing. This is called a red leopard wrasse I've just seen. So another leopard wrasse, but they're really cool. I've never been brave enough to try one, but they're cool.
Why would it be any more difficult than the other one that you've got?
I don't know.
Well, maybe in the new tank. Do you know
I've not researched them for years. Sorry.
Do you know what fish you're going to put in the new tank? Well, onto the news, don't you?
there are probably a couple more, but I want a Scarus koi parrotfish, which is a...
That's a terrible idea.
Why?
That's a terrible idea. Have you had one before?
Yeah. Do you know why I got rid of it? Because it started eating my corals.
Yeah, so it's a terrible idea.
It was eating our crows. I think it's going to be all right. But that's a possibility. But I've not really given it much thought yet.
I know someone who's got one because Jamie's got one and it's fine. But the reason it's a terrible idea for yours is because your tank is not the size of Jamie's tank.
This is true. I think it's going to be okay.
I don't know. I've never seen a small one. They're always like this. They're always massive.
I've seen a couple of small ones and I would get a small one, but they're not quite as brightly colored though. But
okay.
Anyway, so that's the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week, which means we're now onto the Prestige Reef Coral of the Week.
Yeah. I also picked a coral that I saw today, which Alex is going to get up on the screen at the moment. And it is a worldwide coral something grafted Stellaria chalice.
Stellaria chalice. WWC Stellaria. Yeah. So this is, you saw this in my tank. And
better in your tank than that picture, I think.
Yeah, that's not the best photo, to be fair. It's really nice. And under blues, it glows red. And so this is the main bit is red. And then the outside is, kind of yellowy, greeny.
Yeah.
It's a really nice red. It's quite an unusual red. It's not like a Monte Setosa or a branching Monte. It's a really nice one. Oh, yeah. Quite quick. Yeah, it's a chalice. Yeah. And I find chalices grow reasonably quick.
Yeah.
It's the one thing with this is it's super aggressive. It doesn't have sweeper tentacles that I know of. Yeah. But if it touches another coral, bang, any coral it touches, and I've had four or five already, you'd think I'd learn. I put it next to a Raja Rampage chalice, thinking they're both chalices, and boom, it started killing it. But they're probably not both chalices. They're different, whatever.
So what you're saying is if that touched my nose would actually fall off this time.
Yeah, completely. It'd be a full-on needle. But if you want that coral, I've taken the colony that I had to Reefkeeper Moss End. So I presume they'll be fragging it. They might sell the whole thing, but it's nice. And it's pretty, you don't see them often in the UK.
I saw it today.
Oh, no. So I had another one in my main tank.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, did you take that today?
No, yesterday.
Oh, I was one day too late because I would have bought that off you.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you some of the, when I break down the water box, I'll give you some of that. But there you go. So those are the coral of the week and the fish of the week. And that means good news for everybody who's tuning in just for this. We're on to the news. So there's quite a few news stories actually. So should I go through everything and leave the BRS thing to last?
Yeah, that'll have really annoyed people. Well, I can put everyone on the list of people we've annoyed this week.
Yeah, 4,000 people. So The headline then from the thumbnail, this is, what do I call it? A sad farewell to Ryan. So this was, I didn't even notice this. So I watch most BRS videos, but there was a BRS video on the other day that I didn't watch that someone told me about.
Yeah.
It was just, they do this preferred reefers giveaway. So they just do they give away 10 grand's worth of vouchers or whatever. And it's like a 45 minute long video don't think they do it live, but it's a 45-minute long video, and they're just three or four of them chatting, going, reading out names from people who are winners, basically. Yeah. So I don't bother watching them, because you don't learn anything. It's just they're just doing it to share and to, as an easy giveaway.
Plus, we're not winners, so they wouldn't go down.
In the UK, not winning anything. But at the end of that, and there was nothing in the title to suggest it. There was nothing on the thumbnail to suggest it.
Yeah.
At the end of that, Ryan said, and this is the story, Ryan said, hey, by the way, just one secret I wanted to tell you. I'm stopping. He's taking a break, basically.
Yeah.
So what he said was I've made a few notes on everything he said. So first off, this is BRS Ryan, by the way.
I've already taken a break.
Ryan Batchelor. The first thing I should say is I think that this is, and this is why this isn't clickbait. You can tell that like touched a nerve, didn't you? So for me, he is. He's the one person who's given more to the hobby than anybody else in the last decade.
Yep.
I think he is the most significant contributor to the hobby, full stop. Sanjay Joshi, Mike Paletta, everybody, he is the biggest contributor to the hobby and to success. I think he's been a huge influence on me personally and to thousands and thousands of people around the world. And so that's why it's such big news. So he's taking a 12-month break. What he said was he said he's been doing this for 16 years.
Yeah.
These YouTube videos, and he's made over 2,000.
Have you ever seen his first video?
Yeah. Oh, man.
They're terrible.
Ryan won't watch this, but if you do, sorry. But and I'm sure he would say this himself. But
he will know this.
He's yeah. They're so slow and like, so hello, my name is Ryan. We're talking about calcium today, and it's but that's what it's like when you first pick up a camera. You don't know how to do it, do you? So but he's been 16 years, 2,000 videos, and basically, so this is really common actually. There's been loads of YouTubers saying the same thing. DSLR video shooter Matty Hapoya, Caleb Pike, what's his name, Tom Scott, loads of them have got YouTube burnout, basically have stepped back or completely walked away. And he said that he's got burnout because of like kind of part of that, because he's just kind of, it's been doing it for so long that he feels a bit burned out. And he said some of you, this won't be a surprise to some of you, because 52 weeks of reefing as season two has been stuttering along, he said, or words to that effect. And he's right, because it's kind of the format's been changing and it's not been 52 weeks, it's kind of been up and down all over the place. And actually that's kind of struck a chord with me, because last year I changed from weekly videos to one a fortnight, and I was trying to change all sorts of things. And people probably didn't notice, but I was changing all sorts of things because I was getting a bit fed up with certain things. And I think he was doing the same with this, with 52 weeks of reefing, from the sounds of it, from what he was saying. So he's going to take a year off. He said a year off. This is the sort of thing, though, that a man in his position who has given everything, he's given tons back to the hobby, and he's probably made quite a lot of money out of BRS2, and that's not said with any criticism. Good luck to him. I'm very pleased.
We're jealous.
Exactly. So really pleased for him for that. What's he got to come back for? I'm not saying he won't. I've got no inside information, of course. He didn't say any of this, but I do wonder if he'll step away completely and he'll have a year off and he'll be like, I quite like this. Spending time with my family. He might well come back. I don't know. Who knows?
You miss it. I disappeared for 6 months at one point where the channel obviously was closed and I came back because I missed it, and it was one of the best things I ever did. And I think when you come back with a different set of like mindset. So at the moment, even you felt this, I'm sure you'll admit, it's like being on a treadmill, or is what a lot of people say. But what I like to say is it's like someone has your face against a sand grinder. It's what it's like. It's not easy doing this. I think, look, there are far worse jobs than this, but mentally it does wear you out. And it's not just me and you, it's loads and loads of people. Interestingly, what I said to you earlier, I made a video and I loved making it. And I made a video on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, and I made another video today. I've not made a video for like 3 or 4 months.
I made
3 days.
Back to backing.
Yeah. So once you've had a break from it, you then get your love back. You miss it and you get your love back for it as well. So
that's what happened. that's what he was saying, was that he's going to take a year off. He's going to do scuba diving. He's going to set up his own tank and not film it. He's just going to set up to enjoy it himself with his family. He's going to spend a bit more time with his family. And he's going to do talks at like Macnum and that sort of stuff. So he's obviously staying in the hobby. He's still lost his passion for the hobby. What he said was he was going to come back refreshed and excited in 2025. This hasn't really been a proper announcement. I'm sure there'll be a video soon that actually announces it properly. I was a little surprised they kind of just snuck it in at the end there, but anyway, I'm sure they'll do it soon. They haven't said whether or not they'll keep making videos. I'm almost certain they will. They've got Thomas, they've got Matthew and various other people who can step in. You can't replace Ryan, because no one can, but
Ryan Batchelor. We can't replace Ryan because no one can. In fact, anything that you hear in this live stream that you think can be put together, send it to me later.
I'm going to start saying his full name and go Ryan Batchelor every time now.
Yeah, but so I can literally just cut the end off.
Ryan Batchelor. Anyway, so he said he's going to come back refreshed and excited. And it might well be the thing that actually he goes away and actually setting up a tank is really good, because he does that in the office tanks, but setting up your own tank is different. So it might be that he goes away, does a load of scuba diving, comes back revitalized, and he's back in it. I would love him to come back, but the main thing I think is I'm actually happy for him that he's taking a break.
Yeah,
almost jealous.
he looks at my life when I'll have some of that.
Yeah, exactly. But just he's 16 years, 2,000 videos. Because this is like, you and I are not really YouTubers. We run channels, but we're not professional YouTubers. That's basically his full-time job.
Yeah.
And that's proper intense. And everything is on his shoulders, because he makes 90% of the videos on that channel. And also lately, I suspect actually, although he said he's been stuttering with 52 Weeks Reefing and all these sorts of things, that series hasn't been very well received. And I suspect some of the criticism he's got has played into it as well. It makes you a bit fed up. And also, you can talk all you like, and I sometimes say, I'm not going to bother chasing the algorithm. But when you make a video and it does well, you feel good. And when you make a video that doesn't do well, you feel bad. And you can't, there's nothing, it doesn't make you a bad person. There's nothing you can do about it. And so if you're making videos and they're not doing well, especially with 52 weeks, didn't really do that well this time around, whereas last time it was huge. And it must be a little bit disheartening to be putting all your effort into it with all this knowledge that he's gained
and money
not doing as well. Oh yeah, for sure.
Because although they would have got some stuff for free, I'm sure that it would have cost them, even running the tanks would probably have cost them more than they would have earned from the actual videos.
they'll have done all right. They're very good for marketing, those videos.
Yeah, that's so true. That's
even
true.
Even like passive marketing, but I don't know who's gonna take over, and there's not been a proper announcement. But that is Ryan Batchelor from BRS is stepping aside for about a year, probably.
Yeah.
So we got no more 52 weeks of reading.
You should have named the title of this "Ryan is leaving."
Yeah.
Because then that really would have, like, people in the comments were like, "Yeah, good."
Yeah. Well, thank God you've got rid of him. Who are you getting to replace him? But yeah, so that's the headline news. So he's going. BRS have come in for a lot of criticism since Aperture took over. Some of it fair, some of it unfair, I think. And I've seen various comments about 52 weeks and BRS generally lately. I think some of it is understandable criticism, but some of it is way over the top, and people are far too harsh. Because even criticizing the standard, the videos, still really good, really interesting, and loads of knowledge, really, really useful.
Better than ours.
Yeah, better than yours, you know. Yeah,
better than mine.
Better than ours. So and still I think really valuable, but I'll miss him. And this is like a lot of people when Randy was around. Remember Randy at BRS?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people were like, he's kind of second fiddle, he's not as good as Ryan. And then when Randy left, everybody was like, bloody hell, I miss him.
Where's Randy? Yeah.
And you realized how much he did and how actually good he was. And so people will be the same with Ryan. I think 90%, to be fair, I think it's a small minority. 90% are behind him and appreciate him, all that sort of stuff. Probably more than 90%. But
I just wonder why do people care enough to have a strong opinion on anything to do with this hobby?
hobby doesn't matter, does it, really? Or, well, no. the hobby does, but all the surrounding stuff doesn't.
No, I know. There's just so much nonsense, but it's probably with everything. But, like, why would anyone care that BRS was taken over by a big company?
That, I think, is fair enough, because basically that's what it feels like. The people are concerned about when a company like a venture capitalist firm comes in, you corner the market and raise the prices, and you treat other companies unfairly. So, for example, because all, like Ecotech, Neptune, AI, and maybe I think another company, I can't remember, they're all under one roof. Yeah. Suddenly, BRS is all part of that same group. So BRS can make a lot more profit, or that whole company can make a lot more profit. And there's all sorts of things about controlling prices and all this sort of stuff. So
learning about economics today.
Yeah, what do I know about economics? And this is all in America as well, which I see some of it, but it's different when you're not in the country. So I don't really know, but I get why people get upset about it. And I don't think that's unfair as such, because they're concerned about monopoly.
Could they buy elsewhere or other products?
What do you mean?
Well, could they?
Oh, people. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if they can buy elsewhere or other products,
make with your feet.
Why are you mad?
But I get that. I get that. Because it's like Amazon coming in and suddenly all the small businesses go out of business.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm too easy going. I don't worry about things that don't directly like day-to-day affect me.
But this, if it was, it's different because in America, BRS is huge and it's the main thing. And if there was an equivalent over here, we'd probably feel more passionate about it. But
maybe.
But anyway, so that's the Ryan stuff. And that's all I have to say, really. We'll watch out. I'm interested to see his I'm leaving video. I'd love it if he was. I think he'll probably be quite upbeat and like trying to be positive. But I'd love it if he was like really honest. And I'm not saying that he's hiding things, but if he was really open and just talked about the good and the bad and why it's so difficult. Because I've seen lots of YouTubers do that recently, and I find it really interesting. It's a really interesting insight. So I'd love him to talk really openly. And maybe it's just as simple as that, I'm a bit fed up and there's nothing more to it, but I'd love to hear the full story.
I wonder if this, because I remember, I don't watch, obviously, I don't watch a lot of YouTube, whereas you seem to watch the entirety of YouTube. Alex has this uncanny thing where I go, have you heard of this YouTuber? He's like, yeah, I've seen it. So it doesn't even have to be fish related. It can be anything related. There was a video that he put out when he put a big tank in his house and it wasn't a success. Another big tank. So again, another person you would go, this person can have success who didn't have success in like with doing it. That was when looking back now, it feels to me that was when he was almost like done, if you see what I mean. Like I remember that video and him just thinking, I feel like that sometimes. So it was probably then, but he just kept going, like fighting through it.
He kind of looked beaten. And that was, I really liked that video because that was, again, that was, you saw through to his soul.
Yes.
He was being really open and saying, look, I've failed. And actually for someone like him to admit that I think most people will be supportive, but there'll be plenty of people who won't. It's difficult to do. So I had massive respect for that because it didn't work out. And it's like, and especially because there'll be some people who think, hang on, you've got every single, there's no excuse for you to fail. You've got the knowledge, you've got the support, you've got the connections, you've got the money, you've got the equipment. So for him to fail, people would have been putting him on a pedestal. And that was a big deal for him to be so honest. I really enjoyed that video. I just felt like it was almost like you connect with him. You feel what he's talking about, what he's saying.
If you think about it, I couldn't tell you one other BRS video that stands out in my mind as much as that one, other than the Chromis tank.
Because
I'm still waiting to see.
I wonder if they'll shut down. But
I wonder if they'll be if they'll still keep doing like that project, because I suppose they can continue without him. It'll just be weird.
So there's a motorbike channel I watch called Fort Nine. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's a Canadian guy. And there was a Canadian guy, again, called Ryan, actually. And he was making the videos on that channel for years. And then they started to expand and make and upload more regularly. And so they took on they had like a million plus subscribers. And they took on a second presenter type who does something like one in five videos he'll present. And when the first video he did, everyone in the comments was like, oh, this guy's rubbish. No, I want Ryan. Get him back. Get him off. I want Ryan back. And everyone was panning him. And then like four or five videos later, people were like, this guy's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's just that change. People don't like change, do they? And yeah. so if they put someone else doing the Chromis tank, at first you're gonna have to, if you're that person, you're gonna have to put your flak jacket on, because you're probably yes. a bit of a pasting. But stick with it, because it will get better. But
they could only use one of the people, I think, that they already is already on the channel. I don't think they could bring a new person in.
But Matt, so the only two that they've got that are regular are Matthew and Thomas, and they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're too different from Ryan, and I don't think they would do the same job. I think you need. I don't. It was just such big shoes to fill. Who would you get to fill those shoes?
Exactly. So if they bought something no one has seen before, they really are going to be absolutely slammed.
It would be like being the actor that comes on after Led Zeppelin or the Beatles, you know.
They should ask Randy to come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they did that, like Randy went to work for some gun channel or something.
Yeah, there's a gun, really famous gun, that's probably the best-selling gun in America, I think. A9, I can't remember. Anyway, he went to do that because he was in the army before, maybe. Yeah. But that one thing actually on that point, because Randy left, I think Randy said at the time, because Aperture came in and it all changed, it wasn't fun anymore, which is part of the reason that he left. And it wasn't a small family, and BOS grew and all that. And I do wonder if actually that's part of it with Ryan now. I suspect less so for him, because it's his show and he has free reign to do what he wants, more or less. But I do wonder if that's partly, because if you lose people like Randy, maybe some of it drops off, because the people are the best thing about the place you work.
Yeah.
But I kind of, you and I have talked about burnout, YouTube burnout before and all that sort of stuff. And I talked to you a couple of months ago. I texted you and said, you could tell instantly where I was going.
Yeah.
What did I think
my response was, why are you being a big baby? that wasn't my response.
I can't remember what I said, but I was like, do you ever think about quitting? Or tell me when you thought about quitting YouTube or whatever.
I'm like, oh God, Alex wants some attention again. Cool for help. Come on then. I called you up, didn't I, straight away?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, because it's hard. And it can. Lots of people do leave. And it's, if you've been doing it for 16 years like he has.
Yeah.
But I love that he's having a break for him. I think that's wicked. And a year off is a good period. I hope he commits to that, doesn't try to come back after a month thinking he's missing it or whatever. I suspect he'll love having time to himself with his family, the scuba diving, his own tank, all that sort of stuff. So I'd love him to take the full break, refresh himself, come back. But do come back.
There you go.
So there's that part of the news. There's so many chats coming in, by the way. AR-15 is the gun. Thank you. That is. There's so many comments coming in. I can't keep up with everything.
I've noticed that there seems to be a lot more comments.
There's a lot more people who aren't normally here because it's the topic. So yeah.
Ah, I see.
But yeah, it's. Hang on. Woody's gamertag, by the way, is a. I think he's got a million subs. So he says he's made over 3,000 videos, and I haven't read one of my own YouTube comments in years. At some point, you just don't want to hear it. So that's a small part of it, to be fair. I think the YouTube comments is a very small part of what can stress you out. But the 99% of comments on YouTube are positive. And actually, some of them are really overflowing positive and actually really nice things to say. And it's really, it boosts you a bit. But it's the what you because everyone said, you're used to people saying, oh, great video, I love your stuff, all that sort of stuff. You kind of get blasé, and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then a bad one comes along and it sticks with you.
Yeah.
Like that. So the guy who said, who called this video clickbait, I thought about that in my head so much. And what I thought about, actually, I'll tell you this anyway. So because clickbait is that you're baiting something, right? So if you're baiting a fish, you're giving it what you think, what it thinks is a meal, but it's not a meal, it's a hook. Yeah. And your sole purpose is to get it to bite that. Yeah. After it's bitten, you don't care about its journey because it's going to die. And that's your purpose. And that's, so the equivalent of clickbait titles is all you're trying to do is get someone to click. And as soon as they've clicked, you don't care about their journey. So for example, a clickbait video is a girl in a short skirt and a low cut top leaning over, and the thumbnail says, you won't believe what she did next. And then
what did she do next? I need to know.
Exactly. And then when you click on the video, it's a guy in a Ford Cortina driving around Asda car park. That is clickbait. And there are shades of grey, and there's a spectrum. Yeah. But that is clickbait. A slightly enticing title that leaves a curiosity gap that makes you want to click. That is not clickbait. But it's comments, and that didn't really bother me, to be fair. There are other comments that are much worse. But that's the sort of thing that does get you down. And I do wonder, because 52 Weeks of Reefing wasn't that well received this time round.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if he reads comments, but I do wonder if that must get to you if you're getting panned.
So seriously, what did she do next?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, but, how disappointing for me.
There's also there's all the other things that go along, because like the making the videos is the fun part that we all enjoy. Like if you upload videos to YouTube, that's the bit that's fun.
Is it?
Do you not think so? The creative process.
I don't know what part of it I like, actually. That's actually true. I don't like being on the camera. I don't like that bit. The videos I like the most are the ones I have to put a lot of effort into. So the ones where you write a script and then you like record it and you put the footage and you try and line it up and everything like that. Those are the ones I'm like proud of, if you see what I mean. So those are the ones I do actually enjoy.
The reason for that is because it's the most satisfying ones are the ones where you feel like you're helping people. So you're saying something that's really useful or explaining things in a particular way that will help certain people or whatever. They are really satisfying. I think that's what most people get a kick out of. But there's all the other behind the scenes stuff. There's a pain in the backside. Like you might have to spend hours filming just nonsense for no apparent reason, and even things like doing the taxes and making a note of your expenses and all. When it becomes a business, like with Ryan, there must be untold other things that you have to do, admin stuff, and that's all the stuff that gets you down. And all you want to do is make videos and write about corals and fish. And I bet he ended up, he was in a good position that I'm sure he had an editor and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's still so much stuff that you take on, that you build up and you take on yourself, that you can't let go of, that that gets you down. And
it sucks the fun out of it.
Exactly.
And because then, YouTube for everyone starts as, I've just realized this, no one goes into YouTube goes, I'm going to build a company. They go into YouTube as a hobby. Literally, that's what it is. It's something that's fun to do. And then as it gets more serious, it is exactly the same with the coral farm. It was a hobby for me originally, and now it's more serious. So I feel differently about the hobby than you would, if you see what I mean. Exactly the same thing is happening with YouTube as you get bigger and bigger. So I think I just had an epiphany. I need to go scuba diving.
You do need to go scuba diving. You should. But there you go. So that's basically what's going on with BRS Ryan. He's taking a 12-month break, and I'm really pleased for him. I hope he has comes back refreshed. I hope he has just hope he has a nice year where he can just chill out a bit, because he's not only is he like heading up BRS, he does so much, and 2,000 videos in 16 years. I've made 400 in 6-7 years, something like that.
Bloody hell.
And that's quite a lot.
How much 2,000 is in, did you say 16 years?
16 years. I worked out. It was more than one. Well, it's obviously more than 1 week, but tell me.
Well, so it's 125 a year. So if you divide that by 52, it's just 2.5 per week.
That's mental. And it's more than 10,000 as well. That's a lot of videos. So because people talk about the YouTube treadmill, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
That for me, and YouTube treadmill for me, I find it hard making one video a fortnight, to be honest.
Why do you find it hard? Is it a lack of time or ideas, or is it lack of motivation?
It's definitely not ideas. I've got a list of 50 to 100 ideas, and all I need, and I get more ideas all the time. The ideas are really easy, and there's so many things. No, you can't. You can buy them off me. It's the having the time and sometimes the inclination, particularly if, and I like the thing is, to be completely honest, when you're making YouTube videos, you want to get views. You don't make a video just to get views and you don't care about anything else. You get views by making good videos. So you're motivated by that. But no matter how much you can say, oh, I don't care about the algorithm, I just want to upload what I upload, it's difficult because you get that endorphins from getting views. So there are times when if you're not getting views and you're putting a lot of effort into it and you're pouring your heart and soul into something and you're not getting anything back out, or it doesn't feel like you're getting anything back out of it, because you don't get like 10,000 people, you don't get to see them watching. That's a lot. Yeah. But you don't get much back out of it. Then that does get that's hard work. It's disheartening.
How much is 10,000 people worth to you? just to clarify. I've just, people don't realize this. How much is 10,000 people?
Pounds and pence.
Yeah, in pounds and pence.
Oh, no, I think it's about $2 for 1,000 views. So that would be $20.
$16
quid. And by the way, I've got to pay tax and buy cameras and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. YouTube is a labor of love. Is what, and unless you're a big channel, it's a labor of love,
exactly.
Or if you can find some other way to make money, like, have you ever heard of this website called reefdog.etsy?
Reefdog.etsy.com. I have, it's, they make fantastic 3D printed accessories like this Hanna refractometer check holder that also holds the Milwaukee one.
Was this one that was being made today while I was there, of exceptionally high quality?
That's not, but there is another one. But I've also heard of prestigereef.co.uk, the UK's best coral selling website.
Yeah. So at the end of this video, you're going to tell everyone to go buy some coral.
Exactly. $10,000 is about $20, says Woody's Gamer. Yeah. Oh, and Christmas is more. So this is the thing. It's everybody, every channel has different payment rates. So there's all sorts of CPM and RPM, all this. But at different times a year, because so with Christmas, for example, more people are interested in buying, so advertising space is worth more, so that's why they pay more. And if you've got particularly finance, if you run a finance channel, people who watch finance videos are more likely to spend money, so they get paid more. Their revenue per 1,000 views is more. Whereas with and I find, so it's quite difficult to predict. So there are some videos I've seen where I've made a video, and it's like per 1,000 views, it's two or three times as good as the last video, and it's like
what
about that video that was so good. But and the thing, so you can't, I can't anyway, I'm not clever enough to do it, I can't work that out and then target those kind of videos. But and I don't know if anyone can. YouTube's so difficult to predict. There's been times when I've made, put a ton of effort into something, made it as good as I think it can be, and it's a really good topic, I've got the thumbnail right, I've got the title right, everything is right, and it's bombed. And you're like, and then there are other times when you spend 10 minutes, you upload it, and it does really well. So
there is only one guarantee with regards to YouTube and this hobby. You put out a video about jellyfish, people will watch it. I don't know why. The jellyfish videos get so many views. Sometimes it's millions. Do you remember Dan's Reef?
Dan's Reef, yeah.
Yeah, I think he had put out a jellyfish video and it had like 4 million views or something. So every other one of his like videos had hardly any. And then he's, and it had, I'm sure, maybe it might not have been 4 million, it might be a million, but still, a million people is a lot of people.
He took his channel down. I never understood why he did that. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't exist anymore. Oh. I don't know if he's just hidden it, but that still would have generated some money. Anyway.
Yeah, I think he was a policeman. Yeah, I think that was what he did as a job, I think. And I think that he got a lot of, there was a lot of negativity about his content, but also like some of it was quite personal. And I just thought it's so unfair, if you see what I mean, to do that to someone.
There was some bullying on Facebook, is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
From some quarters. So, and he just, I don't know. But yeah, that happens, doesn't it?
So, I'm just having a quick look at what my jellyfish video is.
we're going to move on because there's plenty more news as well. So if you were just here for the BRS stuff, keep going anyway, because there's interesting news coming up.
Just very quickly, 406,000 views on my jellyfish video.
It's not bad. Well, we're going to move on to, so first off, actually, I'm going to do that at the end. So there's coral bleaching news is bad news. Yeah. So there's, you know, Lord Howe Islands, Lord Howensis, Micromusa, Lord Howensis, Lord Howe Islands in the Great Barrier Reef, Southern Great Barrier Reef, have had their worst heat stress event since 1985. And there's a bleaching. That's the Lord Howe Islands. And there's a big bleaching event going on also at Norfolk Island, off the Gold Coast as well. So lots of corals, struggling and suffering, and there is a picture of bleached coral off Lord Howe Island. Scientists fear worse to come. So this is like that Netflix documentary Chasing Coral, when they went around mapping these stressor events. It sounds like they're expecting something quite serious like this again. So bad news.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else to say. It's just this, you get these, it's almost like you become numb to this news because you get it every year. What I mean? And it's like, oh yeah, they're just doing that thing, you know, where they bleach again.
Well, one of the things Jamie Craig is doing is trying to make heat resistant corals. So
yeah,
if a coral doesn't bleach when you turn the temperature up, you take that coral and you breed it.
Yeah,
and then you can potentially reintroduce. It's very complicated how you actually go about reintroducing it, but potentially you could then reintroduce heat resistant corals that are more likely to survive, more hardy.
I've seen them do that elsewhere as well, where there'll be like a mass bleaching event, and there might be like five or six corals which survive, mm-hmm. and they take those into captivity, frag them up. Because those are the ones that did survive, like the worst event in the ocean, and then they like grow them and then put them back out.
Yeah,
but there must be a limit to how heat resistant something can become.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to boil it.
Yes.
But there you go. So that's bad news, I'm afraid. Good news though.
Yep.
And right, so if you're watching this and you've never seen this before, Ryan loves equipment. Can't get enough of it. Whereas I'm more about the fish. So,
true.
And there is good news for Ryan then, is there is a new light coming out, an LED light, and you love LEDs, you change them all the time.
Yeah, just
it is the Zetch Light X9, and it's got like a cluster of LEDs. This looks a bit Kessel-y. It's a 100 watt basically, which is equivalent to a Radeon XR15 Kessel A360X and various others. And it doesn't give a price. Didn't tell you much more, but the only thing they did say is that it does give a price, $200, which is a bargain. That's half the price of what I would expect from an equivalent light, Radeon Kessel, that sort of thing. So that's a bargain potentially. The one thing they said on Reef Builders, they said was, I know you're smirking because you're
no, to read the last comment.
Watch Ryan's eyes glaze over in real time here. Yeah. But so one thing Reef Builder said was that Zetlite, this is from Zetlite, of course, and they're known for offering that other companies will take their lights and then put their own brand on it and use their lights, white labeling. Yeah. So that might happen. Actually, the Zetlite, if you've got a Neptune Refugium light, that's made by Zetlite. That's a Zetlite. You can go and buy it. You can go on AliExpress and buy the Zetlite equivalent, which is the same light for a lot less money. Don't know if it will integrate with Neptune. Probably won't.
Fascinating. I was really interested in that. The comment section makes me self-conscious. It says Ryan's face is a picture. I'm just looking normally.
The good news is there is some stuff that Ryan really does like.
Yeah. Like what? One,
fish. I got fish news for you, Ryan.
Come on, bring on the fish.
They've discovered a new ras.
Is it brown?
It's not brown.
Actually, I've seen this. It's red, isn't it?
It is. Halicoris sanchezi. It's off the coast of Mexico somewhere. It was an archipelago, they said. I can't remember. Mexico. And it's this bad boy. These are very white light. These are photos under very white light, sort of whiter than you would normally see them. And like, almost, I think that looks like a flash photography. So I think in our tanks, they might look a bit better. But that's all right. That doesn't stand out. And I think I've got to have one. But they're better. Some of the fish that we see on that we talk about on this live stream are like brown gobies. They're boring.
It looks like a flag. Is that a Swedish flag?
No, that's blue and yellow.
Austrian? I don't know.
Swiss, there's a red cross, a red flag with a white cross.
You can keep going. I'm going to find out what that flag is.
Vexillology with Ryan Marchant.
It is. It's Switzerland.
Switzerland, yeah.
What did that's I
not
say?
Same as Sweden.
Oh, I said Sweden. So yeah, I was obviously thinking, you know,
Switzerland is a very expensive country, but their flag is a big plus. Flag is a big plus. I must have joked up. It's literally a big plus.
Oh yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, true.
Move on.
Terrible.
A bad joke. Next, more fish news. More fish news.
Yes.
What's your favorite angelfish? You won't.
Probably a regal. The king eyes I'm pretty fond of at the moment. Yeah, so I'd say a regal angel of that.
A regal angel or a king eye angel?
Yeah.
How about a regal angel crossed with a king eye angel?
You're joking, are you?
I'm so glad you said that. This is Pomelabs. bred in captivity, a regal angel crossed with a tiger, a king eye.
That is unbelievable. Do you know why?
Why?
They're not even the same, like, subspecies.
Genus. Yeah.
Or genus, yeah. So... Like, because regal angels are in a genus all on their own, I believe.
Pygoplites diacanthus, and the tiger is Apollochemythus king eye. Apollomythus.
The king eyes are the same as the what is it? Like gold flakes and things like that. They're very similar from a similar family. So crossbreeding completely different genuses is very unusual.
This photo is obviously taken, the guy's pulling it out, it's under very, again, white light. So it's difficult to see how that would actually look. And I would love to see a proper photo of them.
Yeah.
What's it? Oh, there's a company, I can't remember what they're called, that take excellent photos, but we shared a photo earlier. Anyway, that the only thing I'll say about this fish is it's got, so that looks like a regal to me, but with boring dark stripes. So that's like they've made a worse regal angel.
But juvenile regals don't look like that. Juvenile regal angels don't have the blue on them. So maybe the light. They change color as they get older.
But that, so I'd like to see a better photo, basically.
Yeah.
But that's potentially cool as hell.
Yeah.
But, and I thought,
I'm surprised I missed that article. Yeah. I really like that, actually.
There you go.
How much would you pay for that fish? That is like a $20,000 fish.
Oh, it's probably quite expensive, isn't it? I mean, a king eye angel is expensive enough on its own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay. I'd probably pay a grand for it, but I suspect it won't be sold for a grand.
No.
So.
But they'll be popping up in shops soon. Don't you worry. Same as the Yerpal tangs.
Oh, indeed. There was one other story that I forgot to read about before I loaded it up and I meant to read it and then I got distracted. But there's a couple more bits in the news. First is this is from a new tank system from Ultim Nature Systems. It's called the UNS Reef System. But I didn't read anything about it. It looks kind of cool. It's got beveled edges. Look at that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, how is that... How can you make a tank unique these days?
Yeah, but like, do you know what? So there's all the lots of companies do make them totally differently, but it's subtle things that you probably wouldn't know, especially if you're buying your first tank, you're not going to notice.
Yeah,
and this looks good, but there's nothing on there that I looked at and I thought that's amazing.
When I first got the water box, I was like, "Yes, it's got a glass weir box. This is amazing." And not once recently have I thought about that in probably the last 6 months.
Yeah, okay. To be fair, there's lots of little features in here that are clever. I would guess, does it say a price? I don't think it does. I would guess this is quite expensive because it's got quite a lot of features. That's a feature rich. That's not just a standard off the shelf tank. So I would guess that's expensive. And if it's not expensive, well done for making an awesome tank affordable. Because I do think that is cool. And it's great that there's another option. There's Red Sea Waterbox Cade, Neptunian Cube now, DD. Reefcaster, yeah.
I wish I didn't see that tank today.
Oh, yeah.
As I was driving home, I was thinking, oh, I wish I'd seen that because I wanted to see that little fish you've got.
Yeah, the mimic fellfish. That's a shame. Yeah. Okay. Well, never mind. So there's that bad boy, that tank. You can go check it out on reefbuilders.com for more details. Two more stories, which are in Bahama Llamas.
I was going to say, you see who just come in.
All right, Remy. Friend of the show, Remy. Hello, we've finished talking about BRS, I'm afraid, but wind back. Two more bits of news, UK centric news. First is there's another coral show in May, which was foreshadowed earlier. It's called Love to Reef. Hang on a second. There it is. So this is the website, lovetoreef.com, love2reef.com. It's on the 18th of May. Tickets are £20 each, and it's there are about 200 tickets available, so there'll be attendance of roughly 200 people. So this is the third year it's been running. They've actually got quite a few vendors lined up. Let me go back onto that. So they've got AAC, it's at AAC. They've got NIOS, Ecotech, Red Sea, Neptune, TMC, various. That's quite impressive. That's a decent lineup for a small show.
I wonder if some of them are like grouped together where there's like a distributor. Because Easy Reef, for example, and ICT, I think, are the same.
Like TMC will have Tropic Marin stuff on their stand, for example.
Yes, yeah.
And maybe they'll have Ocean Instrument. But anyway, whatever. Collective Corals, that's a coral vendor. So they'll be, if you're looking to buy corals, there'll be probably stuff from AAC and from Collective Corals. And EK Marines, I think they're a coral vendor. So quite a good lineup.
Yeah.
It's on the 18th of May. I'm not going. I mentioned earlier I'm going to a concert that weekend. But it's down in the south of England in Harlow. So there you go. Go and check it out. And the other thing, UK based, is there's a, you know, did you see there was a Top Shelf Aquatics coral growing out competition?
Yes, yeah. Moki's part of it, isn't he?
He is.
And Queen of Reef, I think. Yeah, and was doing it.
Remy? No, not Remy. No, I don't think. I can't remember. There were a few people.
He's here. Don't remind him. I don't know if he was or wasn't, if to be fair.
Anyway, whatever. There are a few people there who, and I've seen a couple of updates, but not many. Yeah. There's a UK one, which is in association with Signature Frags.
Okay.
And it's on ultimatereef.com. So if you go on Ultimate Reef and search Signature Frags Coral Growing Competition or something like that, you'll find it. And there's, I can't remember what coral they're using, but there's an acro coral. And there's a thread on Ultimate Reef about it. And you can join in and have a bit of banter, share your coral successes. And just it's just a fun competition. So
yeah,
if you want to get involved in a coral growing competition in the UK, now's your chance. And the forum is really good because then everyone talks about it and it's just fun. So there's that as well. And that means that we are at the end of the news. And the end of the news usually means the end of the show.
Yeah, so you rushed the first bit, didn't you?
I know. I did.
It didn't matter to me.
And I just felt so... Because the trouble is, I actually don't like having a thumbnail like this because I know it's going to get attention.
Yeah.
Actually, this there's about 300 people watching Peak, which is less than I thought it might be. But I don't like that because this is not... this live stream is not about one thing. It's never about the thing, just the thing on the thumbnail. I think the people who watch it come back every week and enjoy it. I'm not trying to appeal to everybody. I'm trying to make it awesome for the people who do like it. And when I make a thumbnail like that, I know I'm going to attract other people. Some people will love it and they'll be like, oh, this is cool, we'll watch it. But other people are like, mate, get on with it. Where's Ryan from BRS? So I don't like doing those thumbnails, but
so what you're saying is it's not about the thumbnail and the title. It's really about us.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, whatever. Fine. So there we go. And I think there's so many comments. I'm sorry. It's too many. Thank you so much for contributing and joining in. I wish I could have caught up. I'll watch this back and I'll watch the comments. So, you know, I'll see everything. But I'm afraid it's been too much to keep on top of. But there we go. Anything else you want to talk about, Ryan? Anything else? What's going on in your farm? Any new corals or anything?
I've got the corals from you today. I'm interested to see what those zoas turn out to be because you just were like, do you want these zoas? These random pieces.
They're just utter chaos. It's all utter chaos. The utter chaos is lovely.
No, as in there's some stuff in there that's not utter chaos, definitely.
Oh, laser lemons.
Oh, don't ruin it for me. It was like my own mystery box.
That laser lemon's really nice. I really like it. I'm selling a colony on Ultimate Reef, by the way. That's a little colony. I was going to keep it.
The one you told me you were going to keep.
I know. Selling. Half an hour later, I was like, I'm going to sell it.
How much is it?
150.
I'll think about it. That might be a really, really good deal. I have no idea. It is big. More of the fact, do I want to drive all the way back there to get it?
I'll drop it down to you. Excuse to get on the bike. If you want it.
I'm going to be one of those annoying people that goes, that inquires, but doesn't actually, is not actually serious about it. So they go, oh, yeah, I'm really interested. They never come back to you.
Well, I'm going to sell on Ultimate Reef anyway. So
That's true.
But there we go.
You're lucky. You can sell there. I can't. So.
No, this is true. You could do if you signed up. No, I don't think you could. Anyway.
No, I have an account. I've had an account for years, but.
You can be a sponsor. Signature Frags is a sponsor. Anyway, thank you all for watching, guys. Really appreciate everybody joining in. And Ryan, thank you for coming as ever. Go and check out Signature Frags. Preston.co.uk. No,
that was like when you call if you called your girlfriend another woman's name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, your ex. Preston.co.uk for all your coral needs in the UK. And we will be back next week.
Oh, and also go buy stuff from reefdog.exe.co.uk.
.com.
.com. Close enough.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Cheers.
See you later. Bye.